The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, a really warm welcome to everybody. And so I was saying just a minute before that it's quite meaningful for me that to meet together in this way in which we are cultivating these wholesome qualities, these heart opening and maybe a little bit tender qualities or experiences. But it might be that sometimes when we hear about these teachings on loving kindness, we might think, oh yeah, it's a good idea. For meditation, we might think, hey, it's a good idea while you're sitting on a cushion, but maybe we're not quite as convinced the way that not in our daily life or in the real world or off the cushion. And there's different reasons why we might think that or believe that. We have certainly have reasons. Some might be that we have some fixed ideas of what loving kindness should look like, what it should feel like. And feel like all those fixed ideas only get satisfied if we're in a meditation posture or have some settledness of mind or some particular bodily sensation or something like this. Or we might have some ideas of that, well, loving kindness is nice for meditation, but in the daily world, if we were going to do that, people would not respect me or people would take advantage of me or some version of that. Some version of this is nice, but for meditation, only for meditation. Or alternatively, we might, or maybe in addition, we might hear these words, we feel them too, of loving kindness, and they might trigger feelings of somehow like inadequacy or things are not enough or somehow I'm not up for this, or it's nice for everyone else, but I'm a lost cause, or I'm a lost case, or I'm not stepping up to this. These are beautiful ideals. I feel inspired by them, but they're only for other people, and then not for me. So in this way, this practice, this idea, both the practice and the idea, might become another part of this project of self-improvement. There might be a feeling of we try to get rid of part of ourselves that we feel that's not spiritual enough, quote unquote, or isn't filled with loving kindness all the time. Or we might create a project in which we try to deny parts of ourselves or suppress parts of ourselves and to replace them with something different, you know, something better. And then in this way, we condemn ourselves with how we are, and we, in some kind of way, kind of like torture ourselves with images or ideas of how we think we should be. So for those of you who have been around kind of the Buddhist scene, know that the teachings remind us of this potential for all of us to cultivate these beautiful qualities of mind. I'm using this word cultivate, but maybe it's not even cultivate. Maybe it's more touch into. And to use them as a way to bring warm-heartedness and care to all aspects of our life, all aspects of our experience of our being is invited, is encouraged. We don't have to deny, suppress, pretend things aren't there. And so these beautiful qualities of mind, and we can't cultivate them, and we are doing this practice to cultivate them, but it's not because there's any moral obligation, because this is what we should do, or this is what a good person would do. It's not because we're bad. That's not what it's about. It's more about looking deeply, experimenting, exploring, and hopefully discovering what actually leads to more happiness, to more contentment, to more freedom. What actually helps create the conditions in which our lives might unfold in the best way possible, and maybe even better than we can imagine. So with this idea that it's a way that we look deeply, we experiment, we explore, there can be a sense of playfulness as we cultivate loving kindness. There can be a sense of it. We don't have to get it right all the time. It doesn't have to look a particular way. We can make mistakes just to discover that there's a new way of using the mind, working with the mind and the heart. And is this a way that supports our life and allows us to support others? Is this moving towards more freedom, more contentment, more happiness, or away? And to recognize that sometimes maybe there is loving kindness, but it's mixed with something else. And so can we just get interested in that? What's going on here? Can we become curious about it? Okay, I have anger and I care about this person. How do I know I'm having these two different experiences at the same time? Do they feel the same? Are they alternating back and forth? Is one fueling the other? Is one really, am I just trying to subdue the anger by putting the loving kindness on top? Or is the loving kindness underneath all that anger if I really pay attention to it? So just some example of this recognition that it's, you know, it's not always neat and tidy, and nor does it have to be. So just this idea of what if loving kindness isn't part of a self-improvement project? And what if instead of asking ourselves, what do I need to improve and how can I improve it? What if we ask ourselves, what leads to more happiness? What leads to more contentment? What leads to more freedom? And what leads to suffering? Non-happiness, non-contentment, non-freedom. And have those as the question. So in this way, loving kindness can be, we can cultivate this not because we have to be different, but just to create the conditions in which our life can unfold with the greatest amount of happiness, the greatest contentment. And we don't have to disown parts of ourselves. We don't have to pretend they're not there. We don't have to repress them. We don't have to deny them. But instead, a real encouragement to experiment, play, explore, be curious. That is the way forward. That is the way forward. Okay, so with that as an introduction, can do some guided meditation here. And we can take a posture that feels supportive and easeful, and also has a certain amount of alertness. And just allowing the mind to join up with the body if it's not already. And feeling grounded, feeling connected, both to our physical surroundings, but also to this moment. We are here now. Can feel into the obvious places, like the feeling of pressure against the body, wherever that might be. Maybe even feel into some of the less obvious places. Maybe around the eyes and the mouth, the neck and shoulders. Upper back, lower back. Chest, the belly, the upper legs, lower legs, and the feet. Upper arms, lower arms, and hands. And then allowing our attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the stretching, the relaxing that is part of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. Just noticing the sensations of breathing. and then to begin our loving kindness practice. Bring to mind a lovable being, someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship, or perhaps an imaginary kitten or a puppy or a baby. And having this being in mind can support our intention of cultivating loving kindness by saying these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And if there are any sensations of openness, warm-heartedness, contentment, ease, allowing those to be a support for cultivating loving kindness. And then to extend our loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves not because we have to be better, but to meet our experience with open-heartedness is a helpful, skillful, wholesome way to meet our experiences, so that our greatest wisdom is available. So bringing to mind either an image of yourself or maybe the felt sense of what it's like to be here right now. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. We're caring for ourselves to care for ourselves. Can we let it be that simple? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then we can extend our loving kindness even a little further for a neutral person. This is maybe not so simple, not so easy to extend loving kindness to somebody you don't know, but an individual. Might be somebody on this Zoom call that you haven't interacted with before. Might be a neighbor that you see but haven't spoken to. Somebody with whom you don't have a relationship. You haven't formed an opinion, idea about them. As best you can, bring this person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Is there a way that you can do this practice that really supports this idea of explore, experiment, play? As opposed to an idea that something should happen, better happen. Loving kindness for the neutral person in some ways is very difficult. In some ways it's not, perhaps. What is your experience? But maybe we'll do some equanimity practice here too. For this practice, bring to mind somebody with whom you do have a relationship and you do care about them. And yet sometimes they're a little bit irritating or annoying or troubling. Not the most difficult person in your life, but somebody who sometimes gets under your skin or tests your patience. You can bring this person to mind and say a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this guided meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea that loving kindness, it's so easy to be co-opted as part of a self-improvement project. But instead of asking ourselves what needs to be improved or how can I improve, can we ask ourselves what's skillful, what's supportive, what's wholesome, what's helpful, what's healthy? Can we ask these types of questions? As opposed to, you know, maybe supporting some ideas that we have about ourselves that we have to be different or something like this. If instead, if we're looking for the guidance or the direction of greater well-being and freedom, awakening, we can just feel into and notice what leads to suffering and what doesn't, what leads to difficulties and what doesn't. So can we just simply ask this question? What's wholesome? What's helpful? What's skillful? What's healthy to do here? So it can be really helpful to share these so much ideas and to share with others. And sometimes we hear ourselves saying things that we didn't even know that we were thinking until we say them. So I'll put you into some small groups with an opportunity to discuss either this idea of loving kindness as the non-self-improvement project, or you could also talk about what was that experience like for you this last meditation. We did loving kindness for lovable being, the self, and then a neutral person. And then we did equanimity practice. And that was all prefaced by some mindfulness. So how was that for you to do those kind of collection of practices together? So we'll have about 12 minutes and we'll go in a person. Let's see, hopefully this isn't too complicated, but the person whose birthday is closest to December goes first, and if you're closest to January, you go last. So kind of reverse numerical order by your birth month. Hopefully that doesn't get too complicated. And we can do this where there's no need for one person, the first person to do a long monologue and tell a complicated story. Instead, this is an opportunity for you to explore, experiment, and kind of like maybe play a little bit with what are your ideas, what are your thoughts about loving kindness as a non-self-improvement project and or the practices we did. You could just say a minute or two and then let it go to the next person. Then they say a minute or two, then I go to the next person. There will be either three or four of you. I go to the next person, and then it comes around again. And so you have an opportunity to say something else. And there'll be a countdown timer, so you can keep an eye on that and have fun. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. We just have a few minutes here. Is somebody like to make a comment or share something? Yes, Susan.
I feel uplifted. which is a huge relief. And so I want to express my gratitude for you, Diana, and Sangha. I really appreciate the support I get from y'all.
Yeah. And Susan, am I remembering correctly that you were concerned you might be evacuated? Am I remembering that? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how are things going there where you are with the fires?
I can open my windows. So personally, I'm much better than I had been. I can go outdoors. I'm not sure the damage yet. Kind of knowing whose houses are gone, we're still waiting.
Yes, it's heartbreaking, very heartbreaking. I'm happy you're here and are receiving some support.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a comment or question? Some of you are smiling. Okay. That's one way to communicate too. So we're at the top of the hour. So and I often see Susan's cat's tail walk by. So there we are.
I don't think it's a cat, just a tail.
Thank you, Neil.
So what?
There's a cat.
Just the tail, no cat, just the tail is what Neil said. Okay, so look, Linda has a friend there too. I love this. So, you know, of course it happens when we sit down in our quiet, all our furry friends show up, and there's something very sweet about that. So let's see here. How can I unmute you here? The little buttons are a little bit different than they used to be here.
We can do ourselves.
Oh, okay. And just so that we can say goodbye and wish each other well. So, bye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Diana.
Yes, my
be
pleasure.
Safe, everybody.
Yes, be safe. Thank you for saying that.
Yes.